I'm Maria Dudzak. I am joined in the studio by Lee Skidmore, and this morning she will be giving us some tips on gardening. And my big question that I have, and I don't know how much discussion will come from this, but the fact that we're having this drought and what that is doing to our plants and what we should do. Along with other, that's just one of many questions we'll ask today.
Okay, good morning. I'm so glad to be here. It's the drought is a problem, and it's an ongoing thing. And listening to the weather report just a few minutes ago, it's not going to end soon. So even though we're going to get periods of rain, we need to do what we can to protect the soil and the moisture around our plants.
So what is the drought doing to us? I mean, it's obviously making the plants drier and such, but well, does it also, what does it do to the soil as well?
The soil dries out. And when the soil is dry, the plants can't get nutrients from the soil. And so they won't grow well. Or if you continue fertilizing, the soil, the mineral salts and the fertilizer will build up in the soil. And since there's no leaching, it can damage the plants. And it could kill them.
And so people, I guess, are watering.
I would hope, but I hope they're watering judiciously, you know, watering appropriately.
And what would appropriate watering be?
Okay. In the ground and in containers, you need to give your plants about an inch of water per week, and that's about the height of a tuna fish can. And so you want to make sure that that water can get into the soil, and then into the roots and up into the plant. One way is, let's talk about what plants look like when they're water stressed. You know, the leaves start to droop. And this occurs mainly mid-afternoon when you can really see if the plants are suffering from lack of water. The leaves will curl on some plants. You know, they curl inward so that, because they're trying to protect that midrib. The foliage will feel limp and soft, and the leaves lose their luster, so they look kind of grayish. New growth is smaller, and there may not be any new growth if the lack of water is severe. Annuals, like your violas and your petunias and those little plants, will get crispy brown leaves, you know, edges. And the flowers don't last nearly as long on any of the plants. You know, right now the lilies are blooming, and my lilies usually last about 6 weeks. And I'm barely getting a week out of the new blossoms because it is so dry. And even though I'm watering and I've taken precautions, they're just not able to get the moisture from the air and the soil that they need. And we do have limited amounts of water that we can use for our plants. So, okay, ways to help plants tolerate the drought. Water thoroughly, water mornings. And what I mean thoroughly, make sure the ground is saturated and completely wet, and then you don't have to water again for a while. Also, clean up the debris around the base of the plant. Pull the weeds, because you don't want to share your precious water with a weed. As things are damaged and broken, trim the leaves and the branches. Make sure you're deadheading often to get rid of the spent blossoms, because that little plant will try to continue giving that plant water, that blossom water, even though it's fading, so that it might produce seeds and maybe it will perk up. I've been adding mulch to my garden. I already have about 4 inches, but I'll be adding more this afternoon. And what that does is helps keep the soil cooler, reduces evaporation rates, maintains kind of an even moisture throughout the soil. Deadhead all the time.
Let's go back to mulching. Do you have any recommendations on, I mean, there's different things you can use as mulch. Do you have any recommendations, or does it really matter?
I don't think it really matters. I mean, I know people who only put compost on top. I know people who buy specific sizes of bark chips. I prefer the shredded bark, because the slugs don't like it because it's prickly. I know people who use gravel, compost, layers of newspaper, and then put something on top of the newspaper. But whatever you want to use, is as long as it's helping keep the moisture in the soil and reduce that evaporation rate, it should work. Stop fertilizing. If there's no water, the plants can't suck up the nutrients. It's time to quit fertilizing for the year. Don't start again until spring.
Can the fertilizer burn the plants?
It can. It can build, the mineral salts build up in the soil, and it burns the roots. And if the plants are able to suck up the nutrients and it gets to the leaves and the flowers, because it's such a concentrated form, it can. Excuse me.
Someone walked in.
No, we got distracted. It can damage the leaves, the flowers, and it may kill the plant. So just... I stopped early this year because of the lack of water. I'm on a well, not a well,
cistern.
A cistern, right. And I have a 14,000 gallon tank, so I'm not as impacted as a family of four having to, you know, to use water for cooking and bathing and doing laundry as they are. But I still am cautious with my water. I'm a California girl. You know, raised in the Central Valley, and so you didn't waste your water.
And that's good advice, too, is don't waste your water now.
Don't waste your water now, right.
Because it is awfully dry out there.
When the first heat wave came, I put saucers under my plants. You know, the plastic looks like plates underneath. The lip is about an inch high, or the sidewall is about an inch high, so that when I water, there's no water dripping on through the deck down onto the ground. It goes into that saucer, and then the plant can suck up that water. And you can buy those in different sizes and different heights. Something that I was watering all the time were the geraniums in the window box. Even though they're in 10-inch pots, they take a lot of water because I have all those flowers. So they putting the saucers under there, and I got the deep ones. The sidewalls are about 5 inches high. And so water it, the water stays in there, and then they can use it over the next couple days. So my watering time is cut down. And they seem to be happy. They're still blooming.
You also mentioned to have about an inch of water, that they need an inch of water a week.
Yes.
So are you doing that a little bit each day, or give them that inch on Monday?
See, I think what I was reading and what's recommended is make sure you give them that amount of water, whether it's once or twice. But if you sprinkle, you know, 2 cups on the surface of the soil, it's not going to get down to the roots, because the roots are deep in the soil. And so if it's just in the top inch, then the roots can't get it.
It just seems like it would need more water more often, but no, just an inch lasts a week?
That's a lot of water.
Hmm, okay.
You know, if you fill your pot to within an inch of the top and then you fill that area with water, it will take a while for it to percolate down through the soil. And if you've got your saucer underneath, it'll catch it and then it can suck it up and use it. It takes me a couple hours in the morning to water, and I like to water early in the morning so everything, the leaves especially, have a chance to dry out before the sun hits them. I don't know that I believe the sun shining through a water droplet will burn most things. I know lettuce is tender that way, but, and, you know, when you're out in your yard and you get to know these things, then it's easy to say, okay, do this, do this, do this. But I would say water thoroughly. You know, stick your hand down in there, and you can use a trowel, cut into the soil 6, 8, 10 inches. Put your hand in there and feel the soil. And if it's dry at the bottom, you need to do a drastic measure of watering. I had to take my geraniums and submerge the pot in a bin of water. And I waited until all the bubbles stopped coming up, because it was I didn't realize how dry it was. So when that, then you, put it up on the shelf and let it drain, and then it should be good for a while. And if you never let it completely dry out, it takes less water to keep the soil moist than if it has to start from scratch, because the water will slip between the particles of soil and you lose it. But if it's moist, the soil will grab it quickly.
Do you ever recommend that? I don't know what exactly it's called, but that absorbent material.
Yes.
What do you call them? Pellets or whatever. That
polysorb crystals, water crystals. If you go to Madison in the nurseries and ask about
water.
It. Yeah.
Crystals that absorb water. I'm not exactly what
I
the technical
what
name is.
I like those in containers. It's too expensive to put in the ground. And I love those.
And I want to say from experience, use much, because a little goes a long way.
It
I put
does.
Way too much in a pot and it was just
It just
exploding.
Pushed everything out.
Yeah, exploded out.
So. I put it in a 25-quart bin, and I put the whole box in. And pretty quick, the whole bin is full of expanded crystals.
So rather than putting it in the soil directly, you expand it first and then mix it in?
Or? I like to... No, I don't like...
Okay.
As I'm making my container soil, I will add that in... halfway down the pot where the roots will soon be,
mm-hmm.
so that they can take the water as they need it. I've also gone to earth boxes this year for my vegetables, which is a really unique concept. Aletha Johnson introduced Garden Club to it, and it's like a self-watering pot where the water's on the bottom and you have a capillary action sucking up the water from this water reservoir into the soil. And I think that's very saving, because with the water in the bottom and then 15, 16 inches of soil and then your mulch, not much evaporates. Because I was out checking them out yesterday and I didn't need to water those because they were still nice and moist.
So that, again, would be for containers.
Yes,
that's a
containers,
thing.
Yeah.
And this is a call-in show, so if you have tips or questions, you can give us a call at 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723.
In containers, I made the mistake this year of planting my herbs in the 6-inch square gallon pots, the black ones. And that's just like sticking them in the oven. They get so hot. So I've had to move all of those things out of the sun into the shade. I don't think I'm losing any growth, but I was really surprised at how hot those black plastic pots get. So what I did was paint them. I've got lavender and pale yellow and sunlight blue and pink and coral. But I was just surprised. I didn't think about that, and I didn't know how quickly that would cause the water to evaporate from the heat, which, who knew?
That kind of makes sense. So you can definitely tell a different temperature difference with the color.
Oh, yes, you can. Normally, I use the gray bins, the light gray bins, or I use pots that I've decorated with different colors, but the little herbs don't seem to, I never thought about that.
Oh, I didn't even notice that the phone rang. We do have a call.
I didn't either.
All right. Hopefully you got this right. And Millie joins us. Hello, Millie.
Purple violet for the winter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Millie. Can you start again? I had a little phone mistake there.
Okay. I would like to know how to take care of my purple violet for the winter.
Oh, I'm sorry. How do you care for purple violets?
For the winter.
For the winter.
Millie, are these indoor violets or the outdoor ones?
They're indoor. Oh, both indoor and outdoor?
Yes.
Are we speaking of African violets?
Yes.
Oh, I love those. I have a house full. I don't change anything in the way I care for my violets.
I keep them kind of in the shade and lightly watered, as usual.
I don't have any African violets outside. Mine are all inside. They're on a bookshelf. Say it again, please.
Okay, I was asking, I guess, about the indoor ones. I keep those in the shade and lightly watered.
I have mine near the window. They're about 2 feet away from the window that faces the water. They bloom all year round. I rarely have issues with them.
Should they be in the sun, in fairly bright light or shade or?
African violet leaves will burn in really bright light. That's why I have them back about 2 feet from the window.
And then they winter, overwinter well?
They overwinter well. I don't take them out of their pots. I don't move them around. I just leave them right there.
Great. Thank you, President Help. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you for calling, Melly.
All right. Thanks. All right. And again, if you have a question out there, you can give us a call at 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723.
Okay, back to our containers. You can bunch them together. You know, put all your little pots in one place. You can sit them in a tray, like a nursery tray that doesn't have holes in the bottom for drainage, and you can, you know, fill that up and let them absorb as much water as they need. But I don't let them sit in water for very long. I would think if they sat in water for a couple of weeks, the roots would rot and the plant would die. So, you know, I always mulch my containers. I talked about painting your black plastic box and... do we have other questions about dealing with a drought?
If anyone out there has questions, you can give us a call. Or, again, if maybe you have some tip, something that you're doing to help during this time, you can give us a call again. 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. We're talking about the drought, but also what else should you be thinking about and doing this time of year? It isn't always like this.
It isn't always like this. And it's an experience that we're going to learn from. So if it happens again next year, we will know what to do right away. And we can also prepare for it as we're planting our containers with the water sorb crystals and the mulching and, you know, that kind of stuff we can do ahead of time. But we're harvesting now. People talk to me about harvesting, peas and green beans and squash, and I've got so much, what do I do with it? Well, I always blanch my peas and my beans and freeze them. And sometimes I need to pick 2 or 3 days before I have enough for a meal. And then I blanch them, vacuum pack them, and put them in the freezer. I label it and date it so that I use up this year's before I lose up last year's before I use this year's.
Or how are crops doing this year? Do you know? Is this drought affecting anything, growth? Is it helpful? Is it hurting?
I think the warmth and the sunshine has helped a lot of vegetable crops, even in the greenhouse. I think vegetable crops come from warmer climates. And so I think that has been good. I know the lettuce and the romaine bolted early. It went to seed and got bitter, so we couldn't use it. But the peas and the beans and the berries and the mustard and the kales, those are happy as they can be. And so I've been harvesting, freezing, drying. Like with kale, you can make kale chips. You can make kale strips like for use in eggs and lasagna and soup and that kind of stuff. Or you can grind it, dry it, powder it, and then mix it in. And it, since it's dry and it will absorb moisture, you can thicken your spaghetti sauce with it. And I don't think kale has much of a flavor, so I can use a ton of it and not worry.
I'll ask a question. My strawberries did not do well this year. I had a lot of strawberries, but they tasted bitter. They just didn't taste good. Any thoughts on what
that might be? Lack of water. The ones at the end of my beds that were heavily mulched and got a little bit of shade during the day were wonderful. But the ones that sat out in the hot sun and got drier, and the ones that were near the terrace wall dried out, and they weren't as good as usual. So I didn't get as many as I normally get. There's no strawberry jam. There's no sliced dried strawberries for cereal through the winter. But
I might need to move my pots. I have a hanging basket thing with strawberries in it, and it's in bright sun. So it might have just been too much for them.
It might have been too much. The water content of the berries was probably down, so they were smaller. The seeds looked really tight together. And when you squeeze it, you didn't get juice coming out. Lack of water.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Hope they survive. They're looking a little crispy out there right now. I'm trying to keep cutting back dead parts and help them along. But
when you water, if they're hanging, can you sit them down and let the, you know, in a saucer so you don't use up too much water and they can keep reusing it?
It's kind of challenging in the type of container. It's long. It's like a long thing. Yeah, but I'll see what I can do for it because I think that's a problem. It definitely, the water just sort of drained through.
Yeah, see, that's, you can break up the soil, take your trowel and break up the soil so it's not solid, and then the water will percolate through slower and then just keep adding a little bit until it's completely rehydrated. But it's just about time for strawberries to think about going dormant. You'll get that flush of runners. And if you want plants for next year, leave them. But if you don't want them, now's the time to grab them and rip them out of the ground or cut them off and compost them. But if you compost them, be prepared for lots of plants to come up in your compost pile.
Okay. And let me let you get back to harvesting, your discussion of harvesting.
Bring things in and eat them. There's nothing better than squash and potatoes and beans and peas, carrots as they come in from the yard. But if you don't want to use them or you don't like, I don't like frozen potatoes. You know, they feel spongy to me, so I don't freeze potatoes. I don't freeze potatoes often. But you can, those freeze well, blanch them, vacuum seal them, and then you just drop that in simmering water until it's thawed and ready to eat and you're done. With potatoes, I like to shred them and make hash browns, blanch them, let them dry, vacuum seal them, and freeze them. I slice my big, beautiful Yukon Gold potatoes and dry those and use them for casseroles or soups or salads. Or they don't rehydrate well enough to make mashed potatoes. But they're good in a million other ways.
So you blanch them and freeze them? Is that what you generally do with them? Okay.
Pack and pack them, yeah. The herbs are starting to come in profusely, so you can pick it. I like to pick it in the morning. My grandmother always said you need to get your herbs before the sun makes the oil boil, and then they lose their flavor. So we harvest in the morning. You can bring them in and let them dry, put them in the refrigerator. Either mix them with oil and make pesto or put them in a dehydrator and dehydrate them so that you have fresh herbs with that beautiful just-picked green color all winter long.
And again, we have a little shy of 10 minutes left in the show. So if you have questions out there, get them in now. Or again, if you have some comments, some tricks to share, give us a call, 225-9655. 1-800-557-5723.
I have a lot of kale, and I would appreciate
kale advice.
Well, I know you can buy kale chips. I know how expensive they are, but they are good. I only have that real curly Italian kale. What do I do with it if I want to make chips? Do I just dehydrate? Put the whole bunch in the dehydrator? Should I buy the flat leaf kale? Do you spray something on it? Do you put a flavor on it? Because mostly now I just cut it in thin strips for soups, salads, lasagnas. We like it in eggs. So, but it's, you know, I would appreciate some recipes or, oh, don't do this or, oh, don't do that. I don't salt it. I know people who spray it with beef base and put salt on it, and they say it's delicious. You're eating the kale because it's a vegetable. It's good for you. Why would you? But anyway, if you do need help or need questions, answers on anything with gardening, there's a large Master Gardener group in town. There's the Food Coalition, and there's Garden Club, and there's books at the library, and you too, and Google are the one, the search engines I use are fantastic with things.
Yeah, you can find tips and hints and help and
watch
amazing.
Somebody actually do it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing what you can learn to do online.
It
or
really
if you have
is.
A question, I've had, yeah, I can't remember what it was. It's sort of like how to open something or other. And there it was. We may have some kale tips here.
Oh,
I
yay!
I don't know. We have a caller on the line. Joining us now is... Sorry. Oops, I had to get the line. Joining us is Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning. So this is what I do with kale because I have a major bumper crop. So I just harvest it all. And then I just saute garlic and onions. And then I put my kale in. And I don't cook it way down till, you know, it's really mushy. But what I then do is kind of strain it from the liquid. And then I cool it, and then I put it in a freezer bag, like quart size or, you know, sometimes gallon size. And then I put it in the freezer. And then I, when I'm ready to put it in a soup or with eggs or some sort of stew or casserole, then I just pull it out, and then I just peel away. I take it out of the bag, and then I just slice it with a knife, what I need, and then I just put it back in the bag and back in the freezer. And so I just use it as I need it, and that's really great. You have to, you know, keep an eye on freezer burn or
yes.
when it gets a little too frosty. Sometimes I just... then use, you know, more, or I keep in mind that I need to use it. So that's what I do.
Do you ever make kale chips?
Oh, yeah, I love kale chips.
And how do you do that?
I just, I wash them, spin them. I might lay them out to dry a little bit longer, and then I put oil and salt, sometimes pepper, sometimes red pepper flakes, and then I just massage it in a little bit, and then I lay it out on a flat cookie sheet with parchment paper, and then I just, you know, put it in an oven. I don't really, 250, sometimes, you know, higher, but I have to keep an eye on it. And then it's just beautiful. I love it. It's better than potato chips. And then sometimes I really crunch it up fine, and then I use that on, like, over eggs or in an omelet or, you know, some kind of like a condiment. On pasta, you know? So I love kale.
It is very good.
Okay, thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank
this
you.
This is a great show. Much appreciated.
Thank
Bye,
you.
You
thank
all.
You.
Thanks. All right. There we go. Some kale advice.
Well, I'm going to go try both of those because I have tons of kale right now.
It seems like when people have kale, they have lots of kale.
I think they like this climate. You know, early on it was lush.
It does grow well.
Yeah, it did extremely well.
I think you also were going to mention planting. Is it time to buy things or plant things
it's
yet?
It's time
or?
To get ready
get
to
ready.
Plant, especially your fall bulbs. But there are some really nice plants still in the nurseries that you have time to plant. I would, you know, look at it. We've talked about the rules of buying plants. You want to look where the stem joins the soil to make sure there's no damage there. You want to shake the plant to get rid of all the dead stuff. Sniff the soil. You want it to smell like fresh soil. You don't want it to smell soured or rotten. And then I would follow the directions that come with it exactly. Water it in, mulch it. Don't plant on a hot sunny day or when we're going to have a string of hot sunny days. Wait until the temperature cools down and the humidity is up and there's a good possibility of rain for several days.
We'll cross our fingers for that one. We do need some
True.
Rain here.
And then the bulbs will be coming in soon. And you want to feel the bulbs and sniff the bulbs, but you don't want to put your face in the bag because many of us are allergic to some of the chemicals they spray them with to keep them from sprouting in the bag. And you hold the bag up and you wave your hand over so you get just a little tiny bit of the smell. If it's soft and squishy or hollow feeling, don't buy it. You want it to have a good clean, fragrant, and then get them in the ground as soon as you can. But if you can't do it today, you can do it later. I always like to buy tulips as gifts and plant 5 in a 6-inch pot. And then I just have a space in the yard where I bury the pots. I don't even have to think about them until about mid-May when you see them poking up through the soil. You just lift your pot up. And if you're going to Mary's for lunch, here's a pot of tulips. Yeah, so, I mean, you can do fun things like that with your garden.
Okay. All right, we have a few minutes left. Are there a couple other items you wanted to mention? Or
Garden Club is September 19th, and we're going to be talking about microgreens, which is something I'm really getting interested in and starting to learn to do. At our meeting, Jim Gunther will be our presenter, and he has a spectacular setup for producing microgreens for salads and soups and omelets and all of that. We just finished our garden tour, and we saw 3 beautiful gardens, plus the Catholic Church, and we talked about how they were, how they finished landscaping the yard, and how individuals are using different areas for meditation and exercise, and how the little kids bring their toys, and they built little fairy gardens, and just are thoroughly enjoying it.
So that's actually a garden you can go check out.
And, it is.
And yeah, I think I've been by there, and they've done quite a nice job.
They have completely finished it, and it is absolutely gorgeous. It's taken, I think, maybe 3 years to do, and you can contact the church of ways you can donate money to the garden or buy a tree or a plant in the name of somebody. You know, if you want a red bark maple, then you would ask, could I, you know, I would like to donate a tree like this. What do I do? And they'll give you all the information that you need.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
That's at the end of my...
All right. At the end of your
Plus
list.
My recipes.
Okay. And yes. So again, thanks for the folks who called in. And also, if you... You know, we continue on with different call-in shows and topics. If you have ideas for topics, you can let us know here at KRBD. And again, thank you so much to Lee Skidmore for coming in with gardening tips.